Hi, everybody. Welcome to the East Texas News Roundup. I'm Valerie Riddell. I'm the news director for Polk County Publishing. And here we go with weather preparedness. We're going to talk to Jason in Trinity County, talk about flooding. Jason Klopik, Megan Whitworth in Houston County, see how harsh streams and ditches are doing. And Jacob McAdams, probably the hardest hit area in San Jacinto County around the area. I'm covering Polk County. And Chris Edwards, the Colmenille native, is tackling Tyler County.
Hey, everybody.
Home of the legendary get out or die advice during Harvey. So how are things looking right now, Chris, in Woodville?
Well, in Woodville right now, mostly this week, Valerie, we've had not heavy rains, but it's been raining every day. And I got caught in some rain, a small storm on the way here. We're looking at about 2 to 6 inches of rain this week and nothing major. But still nothing that people would really want to drive in at night.
In the dark.
In the dark, yes.
With the deer.
Oh, yeah. It's an added...
Or the wild hogs.
Jacob.
Hazard there.
How about San Jacinto County?
Obviously, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out, considering, you know, when Harvey hit, we're still recovering from Harvey,
right.
And a lot of people are, of course, but one of the main issues was the Camilla bottoms,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of areas like it, because they're basically built way down low, and of course, when the water starts rising, there the areas get flooded. That area is still considered to be a bit of an issue. There are people who are volunteering to provide supplies down there, and I had talked to David Brandon, who's our emergency management coordinator, and he had discussed some basic things to do. Now he doesn't think this is going to be what Harvey was last year. Of course, we're keeping an eye on it.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, especially in a lot of areas around here, one of the things you want to make sure is if you're the kind of person that has a trailer or an RV, you want to make sure you can move those to a safe spot before the rains hit. And that was one of the main things he had told me.
And moving those high-profile heavy vehicles is just a nightmare once the weather arrives. And our folks that have been living kind of under the bridge in that area, the Camilla Bottoms, if anybody isn't familiar, that's the area just below the Lake Livingston Dam.
Yes.
And a very low-lying area. Then you kind of move on into Holiday Lake Estates and a lot of the harder hit communities along the river. Are folks still down there? Are they going to take some shelter as a precaution or just hide and watch? Or
I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, it can vary for a lot of people. And thing is, they're still down there, they're still recovering, they're still getting supplies. And honestly, they may not even have anywhere to go when it comes to it.
Well, we'll be thinking of them. Emergency officials around Texas had a conference call this afternoon about this tropical disturbance in the Gulf. And they say the chances of that developing into either a tropical depression or a tropical storm are 70%. I saw somebody on social media posting that means there's 30% chance nothing's going to happen. That's a pretty cavalier attitude to have. Would you stand out there if it was a 70% chance of being shot today? Would you bet on that 30?
Absolutely not.
How's Trinity County doing?
It's been hit and miss. I mean, we'll have like a 5-minute rain shower and then it'll just stop.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's been doing here in Polk County, or, you know, even my parents. It's like they said it was going to rain, but it hadn't rained, and it's that weird heavy mist.
Now, one thing I've been paying attention to is potential cancellation or postponements of football games. I know, like, down in the Gulf Coast region, like Shiner, they moved their game up with Burton to tomorrow and canceled the JV game. Groveton will not have a JV game against Buffalo, but that's because they don't have enough for injured reserve. But the junior high games between Groveton and Buffalo were supposed to be in Groveton tomorrow. They've been moved to Buffalo because Buffalo has artificial turf.
Is it good artificial turf or scary artificial turf?
Well, if you roll an ankle, it's scary.
Right.
Of course, rolling an ankle on grass is scary, too.
Yeah. Rolling an ankle is just generally bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I do falling down on artificial turf. I guess that's not a good football term.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather be tackled on natural grass than fake turf.
Now, the new field.
Except for the Aladomo Dome.
Right. Now, the new field turf is not like the rock solid AstroTurf of the days of old. The new field turf is more like grass.
Right.
So it's less like carpet burn.
It looks a lot more like grass.
Yes.
That's also the case with Shepherd. They're going to Splendora. They are going to be, it was meant to be a home game between them and Orangefield, but they're going to Splendora to play on their turf.
Great. So. That'll be good. Yeah. Orangefield, they were certainly hard hit.
Oh, gosh, yes. In the Harvey triangle area.
But it's definitely a weekend to make your trip to Walmart to get your emergency supplies sooner rather than later. Folks always wait till the last minute and then wonder why there's one loaf of pumpernickel bread, water, batteries. There's a full list of emergency supplies on each of our websites.
I will actually comment on that because you brought it up. I used to work at Berkshire Brothers back when I was during Hurricane Ike when it came. So I will second that and just emphasize, yes, because the stores will be, we were open the day before it hit, and the store was extremely busy. We had like six people in each register, and there's six registers, and it never slowed down until we finally stopped at 2 p.m., and then it took 30 minutes to get everyone out that was still in there. So yes, those stores will be jam-packed, so it's best to just go ahead and do it now and avoid the hassle. And also because once they're closed, they are not going to reopen for you in a situation like that.
Fill up your gas tank, too.
Yes,
absolutely.
And if you have a generator, fill up several gas tanks. Just prepare for the worst, you know. You hope for the best, but you prepare for the worst.
Because when you look at super long-range forecasts, I mean, we have made it now to, you know, we're near the end of hurricane season. Hopefully, the water cools down in the Gulf a little bit more. We will come to an end. But Ike, remember, hit pretty late in September.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a heavy wind event as compared to Harvey, was just soaking us with rain. Being prepared doesn't hurt anything. We never know the winter. They're saying we are in for a stormy winter this year,
right,
however they figure that. So it won't hurt to go ahead and have those 8 cans of Vienna sausage ready to go.
Or Chef Boyardee.
Chef Boyardee. Chef Boyardee is my friend. But
Oh, yeah.
You can always have a storm food party if you make it through a couple of years and you want to get those cans off the shelf, then work them into the menu.
Wolf brand chili.
Oh, yeah. Wolf brand. Yeah, I was going through my pantry yesterday and I was gathering up a bunch of stuff that I had left over from Harvey last year. And I was going to gather up stuff to bring to a food pantry in Woodville. But then I thought I might need that. So kind of not so fast.
We had a bunch of those $1 shelf-stable. They're almost like a microwave dinner, but they're not in a can. They're just shelf-stable food that was like Chef Boyardee and chicken and dumplings and all that after Ike, because the Livingston area went without power for so long. And that was kind of my house. It was kind of a punishment. If you showed up late to Sunday lunch, you had to eat one of those rather than what the fresh dinner that was prepared.
Anyway. This is Hormel jobs, I think.
Yes.
This
is
Hormel. Not at all. Oh, I eat those sometimes for lunch.
Yeah, those are very good.
I have a question. Who was here during Ike?
I was.
So y'all lost power for a while?
Yeah, like a week.
So what does the newspaper do?
There will be a newspaper no matter what. Mm-hmm. We have longstanding relationships with newspapers around the country. I mean, around the state. It might as well be the country. All over the country of Texas. So we can just, no matter what emergency may arise in our 5-county area, we can go and print somewhere else. We print with Print and Lufkin. And during Ike, Lufkin had power and we did not. But if the Lufkin paper likes having our business so much, if they were without power for a long period of time, they have press plants in New Braunfels, Galveston, Paris, Texas, Kerrville. You know, we can find a spot that we can get those papers out.
Yeah, speaking of Ike, I was in Seguin during that time. That was back when Seguin still had their press, but now they got rid of it because they're so close to New Braunfels.
Right.
But we hosted the Facts out of Clute.
The Facts then. And the Bay City Tribune went there because during Ike, one of my favorite ex-husbands was the publisher of Bay City. And and I came and got the dogs and came to Livingston. And that was Rita that I got the dogs and we came to we came here. And the storm followed us and my house in Bay City stayed perfectly dry. And so then once the storm passed, I loaded up my 100-pound dog and my 60-pound dog and my cat and went back south and got in the pool. But
You know, you mentioned Rita, Valerie, and a lot of people who were hit by Rita, they forget just how destructive Rita was. And Rita, of course, it was right on the tail end of Katrina, but Rita was bad business. I was living in Nacogdoches at the time, and I came back down to Tyler County to make sure that my grandparents and everybody were all right. And I think that they were without power for about 2 weeks. And
yeah, the power outage after Rita was actually longer than after Ike.
Yeah, it was. But it was bad news.
We were out of school for an entire week. That was my junior year of – actually, was it? No, it might have been my senior year. I forget which it was. I know it was back in 05. And so it was either the beginning of my senior year or the end of my junior year. But we were out of school for like that whole week because of that. And I do even recall that I think I rode with my dad into Cleveland. But I remember seeing some of the buildings just getting torn up pretty bad by it.
Yeah, it was really pretty scary here. We had a lot of damage here at the Enterprise, but again, we did pick up and go print in Lufkin until we got back online. But just regardless of which community you're in, check out our website and Facebook pages. We're going to have links. I think the emergency management coordinators in all our areas have a Facebook page. That's the best place to look. That's where you'll find out if they're going to open a shelter. If the lights go out, you can still access information through your phone. In Polk and Trinity counties, those emergency, not Trinity, in Polk and Tyler counties, they have outbound messaging systems. So if something happens in Tyler County, they use a program called IRIS, and you can access that from County Judge Jock Blanchett's webpage and make sure you're signed up. You can sign up everybody in the family's cell phone so they will contact you and tell you when it's time to move because they're cranking open the dam and you're all going to wash away.
Bad memories of Harvey.
Bad memories of Harvey. Judge Blanchett was the one who told folks of
Get out or die,
because they're on the Neches River. A lot of river residents have endured a lot of storms. They are very hardy. They consider themselves very hardy, but they had a difficult time messaging, getting that message out that the water is swift, deep, lots of water's coming your way, and if you don't get out now, we're not going to come get you. I've worked on a lot of the coastal newspaper, the Facts and the Bay City Tribune and those areas. Those first responders are equipped with airboats, and many times you would have to go along and it's like it's time to get out, and they would toy with it. Well, I can stay in my house a little bit longer, and it's, you know, now we really preach the 3 days, stay with 3 days, and they would have about 2 days worth of beer and cigarettes, and then they were ready to be rescued, and you get to get in the airboat and navigate all the snake-filled trees and go pick folks up. One lady I will never forget. Absolutely, if you have to evacuate, this is a good reason to have your list together. It's on ready.gov. We're going to give you links on all of our pages where to get that. One lady was tremendously upset because the Coast Guard had to evacuate out of her house near Surfside Beach. She went to a shelter in Angleton. Then she wound up getting moved further up to Houston in one of the tropical storms. And somewhere along the way, she lost her teeth. You know, hey, if you're having to evacuate your house, those puppies fit in your mouth for a reason. That's a really good place to keep your teeth.
Yep.
Don't be sorry later.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
I reached my goal. I wanted to make Megan laugh about disasters. So, mission accomplished.
It reminds me of that joke where the guy who just founded Jesus as a savior, the flood hits the next day, the boat comes by, tells him to get in. No, God's going to save me.
Oh, yes.
Then the truck. No, God's going to save me. Then the helicopter. God's going to save me. He drowns. Asks God, why didn't you save me?
I sent a boat, a truck, and a helicopter.
Duh.
Yes.
Yep.
Your first responders aren't doing, they don't give you an advisory to leave your house to be annoying.
Right.
They would rather you stay there with them. How was evacuating in San Jacinto County, Jacob? Did y'all have to move?
I can't remember so much about evacuation. And the reason why I say that is because it seemed primarily it was all about them trying to get who they could, who was rescuing people. There were a lot of issues that popped up during the stormy weather there. We had a near the border with New Waverly. Mm-hmm. We had an issue where a baby was swept away by the current.
My gosh.
Yeah. And that was where Punk and Evergreen, they were their volunteer fire department. They were trying to stop that. And we had that. Sheriff Greg Capers lost his uncle, I believe, in the floodwaters. So, I mean, a lot of it was just, you know, they had shelters open. Mm-hmm. They had shelters open at the Jones Auditorium. They had a shelter open at the Shepherd Community Center. Some churches were doing stuff like that. And it was really just about housing who you could. As far as anyone evacuating, I don't recall off the top of my head, but they were keeping out word whenever things were getting bad, like the emergency management office. They were letting people know whenever the dam was getting a little too taxed from it, you know, and they were having to let water out.
Well, absolutely. Make your plan now for what you're going to do from rising water threats for the rest of the year. Contact that uncle or brother-in-law up in Fort Worth and go ahead, reserve a spot on the couch now rather than later. Check out our Facebook pages, websites. Are you signed up for Alert Me Polk County? If you live here in the Livingston area, Judge Murphy and Courtney are going to keep you up to date on if it's time for you to move or if it's better for you to stay inside. And we want everybody to have a safe, wonderful weekend. Pick out which shows on Netflix you're going to be streaming and just be ready.
I want to give you guys a list of items to help out in preparation mm-hmm. for really bad weather. At the beginning of the week, Governor Abbott issued a news release when the chances of this happening were 60%. Now they're 70%. But for everybody out there listening, here are a few things that you and your family can do to prepare. And starting with one, you can assemble an emergency kit that includes essential documents, supplies, and provisions. All those things, you know, your birth certificate, banking documents, and emergency supplies, first aid things, as well as, you know,
just
your provisions.
Just in case like, that list gets too wieldy that you have a hard time packing it with you in that Zodiac rescue craft, stick it in the dishwasher.
Yeah. And number two, review hurricane evacuation maps and select a route for you and your family. This is important because, well, you've got to know a way to get out of where it's really about to go down, but you don't want to also get on the route that's going to be the most crowded and possibly get stuck. Number three, plan how all family members and pets will evacuate safely. This last part about this, about the pets, just keep in mind that post-Harvey, there is now a law that if you're having to bunk down in a motel or hotel, they cannot deny you having pets in time of emergency, so keep that in mind. Number four, consider any special needs for individuals with disabilities or the elderly. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Number five, stay informed about changing weather conditions in and around your area. And like Valerie was saying, you know, everybody now has a smartphone or even in the event of a disaster has access to social media and the internet somehow. So, you know, use those resources wisely to keep abreast of things as they unfold. And last, but definitely not least, follow the instructions of local officials if a storm develops, which we've been talking about a little bit.
When they tell you to get out, it's time to get out.
That's right.
They're not trying to move you.
That's right. No matter how cool your house is or how nice your property is, it's, you know, it's not worth your life.
Oh, just always have a plan. My parents have a year worth of food.
Yes.
So I know where I'm going. And my in-laws, they do canning and stuff. So.
Yeah.
So
pretty
handy.
Pretty set.
Right.
Knock on wood.
I will make a point that after Harvey, when I was still with the Advocate, I'd covered a number of events where we had people speaking on that. Mm-hmm. We had meteorologists and people that handled like radios and stuff, or you know, mm-hmm. like ham radios. And throughout those events, one of the things that was made clear is that they would tell people you need to get out, and they wouldn't get out because they didn't think it was anything major was going to happen, and something major ends up happening. So do not take it for granted.
Right. I know folks that live right on the coast in Galveston or Matagorda. When something is threatening and they can get out, you don't have to wait it out till the bitter end. I mean, leave a day ahead. Once it's kind of narrowed down, it's going to do. Catch up with that inland friend that you haven't seen for a few years, and then come back and clean up the mess later. But it might be your last chance to have a few days away.
That's right.
If you come across barricades, it's best to not try and get around them because they're there for a reason.
Absolutely.
We had that issue in Shepherd. We had barricades that kept you from getting on the highway a couple of years back when we had some major flooding.
So. I know I've certainly covered numerous deaths over the years of people. They think they know better than, you know, oh, the barricades, but I can do it. And it only takes a couple of inches of water to float a car. And then you're racing down the river.
Yeah.
We're going to post some videos on the websites and things like that and talk about why take the chance. Use your head. Plan ahead.
Turn around, don't drone.
That's
right. We've all heard that phrase, and that's what the DPS and TxDOT both are, you know, using as their mantra for motorists this hurricane season.
Right. And emergency officials have enough to do during the middle of a storm.
Exactly.
Don't add to the burden. Don't be that reason the deputy has to come out and try to rescue you or lose their own lives. I mean, I think San Antonio and several areas have lost deputies trying to respond to 911 calls in the peak of the storm. So let's all be as safe as possible.
I'll add on to what something Chris said a while ago. When it comes to putting together a kit for emergencies, you mentioned some personal ID stuff.
Yes.
That is very essential in ways you may not realize. And the reason why I bring that up is because that's an issue in Camilla right now. So when the floods hit, a lot of them lost all their information.
Right.
Because of that, they're having a very difficult time getting assistance. So mm-hmm. if you're in a situation where you might end up having to get assistance and the floods wash out everything, it can happen. You will lose a lot of stuff, and that will include your personal ID type stuff.
That's right.
You know, you've basically just, that's it. You know, you're going to have a really, really hard time getting.
And in a lot of areas, if your neighborhood is devastated and you want to get back in, if you don't have a photo ID that proves that if Elm Street has been blown away and you live on Elm Street, you're going to have to present some photo ID that says you live on Elm Street, or they're not going to let you back in there.
That's right.
Yep.
You need an ID for pretty much everything in a time when it's not a disaster. So definitely need it when it is a time of disaster.
And carry cash with you. Have like $200 because you're not going to have access to ATM or anything when there's no power.
That's right.
Yeah, over in my neighborhood, there's a lot of bartering that goes on in a post-storm environment. Mm-hmm. So either have cash or a really awesome tamale recipe that you can swap that for gas from the neighbor. But
smoke a brisket in preparation.
I'll take a can of...
Are you having a storm brisket going this weekend?
Sure, I can. I've done it before.
I'll throw this out there. My dad, actually, during Rita, Ike, Harvey, he has always been prepared with a generator. So when the power goes out, we have an alternative source of power.
Right.
That's not a bad thing to do.
Very good investment.
Yes,
absolutely. All right, folks, send us your tips if you've got a unique way. I threw out there really quickly about the dishwasher as a place to store your documents, because once all year long, that puppy, if you have a dishwasher in your home, keeps the water from spilling out everywhere. You can throw in your birth certificate, your marriage license, anything that's paper and really sentimental value, close it and lock it, and that will preserve it. But if you've got ideas on ways to help get your friends and neighbors through, just send those to them. Message us on Facebook, send us an email, and we'll pass those on to everyone else. Be safe. Have a great weekend.